everyone. Welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Matthew 6, we're going to read. If you want to open your Bible in Matthew 6, we're going to spend some time there for a while. But the word speaks, because remember, you need to keep this in mind. It's the Jews, they are Hebrews, all right? And if we speak of them, you need to quickly this morning put on your Hebrew cap. All right, just make sure that you put on your Hebrew cap. You're a Hebrew mind this morning. Today you're a Jew. Only for today, okay? Okay? Remember I said there's certain cues that I cannot go on if you can't say amen or understand. So a Hebraic mind, they don't say anything just because. They say nothing if it's not abundant in their heart. They need to speak, and it's first in abundance in their heart, so they don't speak unless it's built sufficiently on the inside of them. And when it's built on the inside sufficiently enough, they speak. And then they say, and when Jesus speaks, you know, he uses a Hebrew concept when they say something. And he says that it needs to be built big enough in you that what you say is what's actually on the inside of you as well. It needs to be built. That's why it says, may the word dwell richly within you as well. That, you know, from you will flow rivers of living waters. So there needs to be abundance in your heart. It needs to be abundance in your spirit. And he says that when this thing has built enough inside of you that when you can speak, Matthew 6, then he says this from verse 9. He says, then you pray like this. You know this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. Let me read this, verse 9 to 15. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can just drop the background music a little bit, please. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others in their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. All right? And Jesus is touching on some serious issues actually here in this place. But we're going to just focus on one statement, the hallowed be your name, just for a while. Hallowed be your name. The word hallowed, as I said before, means hagiazo. Hagiazo, that means to render, to acknowledge, or to become aware of. Come on, say it, to become aware of. To become aware. That means when he says, because the word Father means supplier. So he's our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So he says, the supplier of everything that you need, when you become aware of that, then it can actually start to manifest. Because whatever you become aware of can flow. How many times we come into a place and we want to pray and do warfare, and I don't nullify those things, but God is already there. And we're trying to do all the things to get his presence and to get his attentions, and you know what, you know, come and just do, come. Instead of becoming aware of God that's already here, becoming aware of what he wants to do, and just flow with the Spirit. Because he says, he who walks in the Spirit will also keep in step with the Spirit. Come on. So it's to keep in step with the Spirit, to hear and do, to feel and follow, to abide in him. That's why you keep in step with him. So Jesus touches on a couple of things. But you need to understand here that he says that to hollow. To hollow means to render, to acknowledge, or to become aware of. Because that's what I want us to do. Is to become aware of who Jesus is. This is today the launching pad for, we're going into 2025. And my wish is for us that we can walk with Jesus closer than ever before. That we can walk in a way with him, but then you need to become aware of him. Psalm 103 says that, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy name. It's about the name of Jesus. Today it's all about the name of Jesus. That you need to render, to hallow, to become aware of, to acknowledge. And that's, if you walk closer to him, you have to become aware of who he is, and that he's within us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's a progression again, and I'm going to speak a little bit on progression, because he's Lord over us, he is God for us, he's God with us, but he wants to be Christ in us. That's what he said, Christ in us. So how do we walk with Christ in us? And how do we manifest, how do we get miracles? if we don't become aware of what he wants to do and who he is, and covenant, what it means to be in covenant with him. Amen? Okay, let's go. So what he says is you have to become aware of Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your name. So it means that you have to become aware of the name of God, who he is. And Jesus, and that's why I thought, let me just share in depth a bit, because Jesus says, I've manifested your name. So you have to become, that's what he says, I have manifested your name, and he says, hallowed be your name. So what is his name? You have to become aware of his name and who he is. So what does that entail? What is God, or who is God to you? When is God Jehovah Jireh or Tzidkenu, your righteousness or your banner, the Nisi? When is God what? How do you become aware of that? You have to become aware of his name. And this is the thing in your private life, whatever you become aware of or acknowledge or recognize in your private life will start manifesting in the public. Come on. Julle kyk vir my so skape vir 'n nuwe hek kyk. And his name is not just, his name is just not a person, his name is an environment. Come on, his name is an environment. You need to I'm just laying a foundation, a couple of things. And he's in this environment, there's all kinds of things in it. His name is an environment. And that as you hollow his name, as you become aware of in this environment, you have to give worth to the name over your own worth. You have to give worth to this name over your own worth. When you have to become God aware, not self aware. So you just simply acknowledge, render, or become aware of that name. Come on. Because that's John 17:6. Jesus says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. That's an incredible statement, actually, what Jesus says. Because in the Hebrew culture, again, I say, a name is a prophetic utterance of character. You'll hear me say that a lot. A name is a prophetic utterance of character. So to say that I've manifested your name says about someone that all that they are, everything that they are, you have to be. You have to manifest. Everything. So at this point, we are given a choice. We can either manifest the name of Jesus, or we can manifest an image that we've created to impress people that we even don't like sometimes. How many times are you trying to uphold an image that you're not really even you? And you're trying to be something instead of just becoming aware of Jesus, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because that's the real you. The real us is Christ in me, the hope of glory, isn't it? That's who you are. Christ in you. And everybody loves the real you. Everybody loves the real you. All of us are created in the image and likeness of God. But all of us have created images and likeness and a persona, isn't it, that we think other people want us to be. And sometimes God wants you, and sometimes we do that to survive, isn't it? And what we do is that we create an image and we live out of a place where we create a persona or an image to impress others instead of just being who God made. Become aware of that. Whatever you become aware of in secret will manifest in public. And that's what God wants us, in that secret place. If you are aware of your insecurities in secret, that's going to manifest in public, your insecurities. If you are aware of your anger in secret, that's what's going to manifest in public, your anger, your guilt, whatever it is. So God doesn't want you to be that. God wants you to be Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you're aware of that, the God that is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love for forgiving all kinds of wickedness, isn't it? All rebellion and sin and all those. When you become aware of that name, that's who you are. That's what's going to manifest in public. Amen? As you render or acknowledge or become aware of that, that's what's going to be. So what Jesus manifested was revealed years before. Jesus didn't come and do something new. What was manifested through Jesus was revealed years before. So let's look at this. Exodus 6, verse 2. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And as I said on Wednesday, this is the first time that God reveals himself as Jehovah. I am the Lord, Jehovah. And it continues. It confuses Moses because he speaks. This is the scene where he speaks to Moses. Remember at the burning bush? He speaks to Moses and he says, "Who are you?" And you all answered, "I am that I am." And he says, "No, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah." And verse 3 says, "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name, the Lord Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners." And remember, this is now a bit confusing because, again, you still have your Hebrew cap on. In a Hebrew culture or a Hebrew mind, you don't cut covenant unless you know who you cut covenant with. If we cut covenant, we trade names. I have to know who you are. It's like getting married. If I don't know who you are, I can get myself into trouble. I can maybe sign up for a million or two debt. Isn't it? Yes, you're quiet. Okay? I can sign up for problems. So I need to know who you are so that when we cut covenant, we exchange, we trade names. I need to know what your name entails, isn't it? So they had to know who God is, and therefore they said, "But who are you?" And God says to Abram, "I'm El Shaddai, the God of all might." So why do we trade names? Because what it means is if I cut covenant with you, whatever is attached to your name, I become one with. If there's something attached, I become responsible for that. So if there's problems, I'm going to be responsible for that problems. It's huge. So God comes and he says here that I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord Jehovah, they did not know, or I did not make myself known to them. So even though I am in covenant with them, he says, we've got an issue here. Because now God actually, you know, did he trick them? Because they made covenant and God didn't reveal all who he was. Because you have to reveal everything who you are. Let's just look at where it starts. Genesis 17. God meets with Abram. Remember a couple of times, Genesis 12, he says, "Come to the land that I'll show you and I'll cut covenant." But then he reinforces in Genesis 17, he says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make covenant between you and me and may multiply you greatly.'" So he shows up to Abram as El Shaddai, God of all might. And for 500 years, there's 500 years between Abram and Moses. God appears to Abram, and let's just quickly look at the background. When God called Abram, Abram was a sun worshiper. All right? So if you worship the sun, it's there. So what's the problem with worshiping the sun? The sun sets, it goes down. So it means by day you've got a God and by night there's no God. That's our problem. So now, you know, there's an issue. So God by day, no God by night. So what happens? They worship the moon. Sun by day and the moon by night. But now we have another problem because you have the sun and day, moon and night. So the question is, who's in charge? Which one is the better one, or which one is now in charge? So we have a problem. So Abram, just get this, because we think Abram was this good guy, and you know, he was Abram was nothing but a rich sun worshiper from Ur. That's where God called him. Some you know how many times I get to people and they think that we first have to be holy and all these things before we can come to God. But God calls Abram nothing but a rich sun worshiper from a place Ur. And he says, "Come, I'm going to cut covenant." And the word says, because we are unfaithful and God's faithful, that's our character and our nature. He says that God cut covenant and he swore by himself. Because he know that we're not going to be able always to uphold covenant. We're not always going to be faithful. We're going to fail at some stage. So he says, "I made him sleep and I cut covenant by myself, my name, because there's no higher name." So he cut covenant even on our behalf. Come on. So here's the thing is that Abram, a rich sun worshiper from Ur, who did nothing. He didn't do anything. God just chose him. Amen. God just chose him. Like some of us, God just chooses you. Nothing you have to do. God chooses you. So God comes, appears to Abraham and says, I want to cut covenant with you. And Abraham says, okay, fair enough. Who are you? Come on, say, who are you? What is your name? He says this, and he says, I am El Shaddai. Why does he appear to Abraham as El Shaddai? Because Abraham is a sun worshiper. But the problem of the sun is just by day. So now is the sun and the moon. So the problem is who's in charge? So God answers this question. He says, I am El Shaddai. I am the God of all might. You have sun and night, sun and moon. You're confused, but I am the one who's in charge. I'm the God of all might. That's who I am. That's why it comes to Abraham as this. I am the God who has all might. God Almighty, what are you in charge of? Everything. I'm in charge of everything. And I want you to go to the promised land. Okay, where is it? No, just start walking. I'll show you when you get there. That's what he says. When I read this, just think quickly on how confusing and how, you know, we sometimes think it's fictional characters. This was true story, based on a true story, I tell you. Just think, if I tell Tasha now, and says, listen, God spoke to me, we have to move. Okay, where? No, we'll just move. Whenever we get there, and we have to pack up everything and just start. That's real life, it happened. He says, we need to move. Okay, God, where are we going? I'll tell you when you get there. Just start walking. And he has to get his wife and the camels and all his family and get going. It gets better. Come on. He says at 99 years, he says, I'm going to make covenant with you at 99. He says, but the first thing I want you to do is take that sharp stone over there and circumcise yourself. You really have to hear God. Okay? It gets weirder. Don't you agree? You really have to hear God saying, leave everything, just start walking. I'll tell you when you get there. But first, circumcise yourself with a sharp stone. Can you picture the story? And I am God Almighty. All right? And the relationship continues. So Abram walks for about 3,000 plus kilometers with a bunch of camels. And I tell you, his wife was right on board, wasn't she? She's just like, okay, let's go. And they're going and they're following God Almighty. And if you got covenant, it was good for you, good for your children, good for your children's children, and so forth. It made me think of the word that was released about the covenants, that God wants to come. It's covenant. God's a covenant God. Amen? So he says, it's good for you, for your children, and your children's children, and to their children's children, and everyone who calls on that name. That's what he says. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they would talk because they're family. So Abraham will tell Isaac, and Isaac will tell Jacob, and he says, hey, I need you to tell you about the God we serve. I need to tell you about the God we in covenant with. And they will say what? Okay, what's his name? And he will say, El Shaddai, the God of all might. We in covenant with El Shaddai. So Abraham tells Isaac. Isaac tells Jacob. Jacob tells his 12 sons. Come on. And so it goes on. The thing is, Joseph, just check, just between the lines, just see the progression of how it goes. So Jacob tells his 12 sons, we're in covenant with El Shaddai, the God of all might. And Joseph, one of his sons, goes, but Joseph ends up in jail in Egypt. And they ask him, hey, who is the God you serve? And he says, I serve the God Almighty. That's all he knew. Never heard him speak. Never heard him anything. All he knows is just by covenant and by generations is we serve and we in covenant with God Almighty. But generations after generations now ends up in slavery. Serving God, just get this picture. We serve God Almighty, but we become slaves. We never heard him speak. We just know of what our parents told us, that we in covenant with God Almighty. And by this covenant with God Almighty, we ended up in slavery somewhere. Can you picture it? You have to feel it for a moment. That you serve God Almighty, but you're a slave. So the question is, where is this God of all might? Where is this God that's almighty if I am a slave? How do I serve a God with all might? But suddenly, 500 years later, come on, God shows up to Moses and he says, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses says, no, 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 you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, El Shaddai. And he says, no, I appeared to them as El Shaddai, but by my name Jehovah, they did not know me. This is a major paradigm shift. Come on, you have to shift your mind this morning. And the next thing we have is now Exodus 12, because Moses is going back to Egypt. And we come in Exodus 12, this God of all might, El Shaddai, the first thing he does, he tells his people, he says, hey, kill a lamb and eat a meal. 500 years of no talking, nothing. And the first thing he tells them is, kill a lamb, eat a meal, put the blood on doorposts. That's what he says to them, first time he speaks. Do you think they even knew why they had to put the blood on the doorposts? They had no clue. But they did so because God Almighty said so. But then all of a sudden, come on, say all of a sudden. Suddenly, the God of all might starts to manifest. And suddenly what you see is the Nile turns into blood. Frogs appear. Plagues come. Boils appear on everybody but us. That's what they see as the Jewish people. Come on, you're a Jew this morning, amen? So say, everybody but us. The animals die, people perish, people die. It didn't take them long to figure out that bad things happen to everybody but us. So suddenly the God of all might appears and starts manifesting who he is, because his name is who he is. So he comes, and he comes as this God of all might. And now they say, he's pretty impressive, don't you think? Come on. So when he tells them and he says, you know, I want you to eat a meal together, put blood on the wall post, they're like, no problem, man, we do this. Because they suddenly see God manifesting. They see suddenly God doing things. And what God is doing as in the Hebrew covenant, as he expands his name, so does the covenant. Come on, do you know that God expands? That God says, I am the same, but God's also expanding. So God says, I'm not doing away with El Shaddai. He says, I'm just expanding what I was to you. Now you're not just only in covenant with El Shaddai. You're in covenant with Jehovah. And that's what they start to find out in the wilderness. Jehovah who? Well, now I'm just Jehovah. I'm just Jehovah now. But the rest of the Old Testament is an expansion of who God is. There's a progression in the covenant. He started with his covenant as El Shaddai. It expands to Jehovah. And now suddenly what? It comes to Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer. Come on. The God who heals you. In other words, when we start looking at this, that there's a supply of healing in the name that's available in the covenant. Do you hear this? There's a supply of healing in the name that's available in the covenant. Now, he says, I'm not just Rapha, I'm Jehovah Nisi, I'm your banner. I'm your victory. I'm your provider. I'm your righteousness. He says this, I am Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Because Jesus says, I've manifested your name. That's how Jesus says, I will never leave nor forsake you. Because I am Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Can you start seeing how Jesus says, I've manifested your name? But you have to be everything who he is. Jesus says, I'll never leave nor forsake you, because it was already established in the name. Amen? I'm Jehovah Shalom, your peace. Tzidkenu, your righteousness. Jehovah Mikadesh, I'm your sanctifier. Roy, I'm your shepherd. So he starts expanding his name, and there's a progression from El Shaddai, 500 years, they only knew God Almighty, and then suddenly he says, hey, let's take off. When they started, they were not even a nation, they were a family. But he says, I will bless you as a nation. So they're becoming and they're growing. Even in Egypt, they were just a family for a very long time. And then they started to become a nation. But If you go back to Genesis, I was listening through Genesis yesterday, and it caught me that Jesus spoke this about a nation being slaves already in Genesis, where he speaks and he says, you know, that they will go to a land and they will be oppressed, but they will become a mighty nation. And then I'll take them to a promised land, even there. So for a family, they become a nation. And he says, eat, put the blood on the door. And he's expanding his understanding of who he was. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, but now they did not know me by another name. Do you know what it means for today and for coming? Is we have a better understanding of who God is than what Abraham had. Because they didn't have Jesus. We have Jesus today, and we have a better understanding of who he is. Because in Abraham he says, I'm El Shaddai, the God of Almighty. Today we have Jesus, the one who have manifested the name. But are you in relationship? Is he Lord over us? God with us, God for us, or is he Christ in us? Where is he? Because he wants to come and manifest that name. Remember Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rohi Nisi, Exodus 20. You know some of these things I've taught on that. With the Ten Commandments, I just want to touch on one thing there. Remember Exodus and the Ten Commandments is a marriage proposal. Remember the ketubah, the five steps in the Hebrew marriage, the proposal, the ketubah was the proposal, the contract. And there's something in us that always turn inwards. Something in us about the life of God, we always turn inward. We always want to ask God, how can we prove that we love you? How can we prove? And sometimes we think keeping the Ten Commandments is our proof that we love God. But God says, no, 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 no. You don't end up marrying somebody trying to prove. He says, it's because you love you end up at that place, isn't it? He says, when I gave the law, it was a proof of love. Not a, this you have to keep and do so that I can love you. This is because we love one another. You will not. It was never a condition for God to love us. So God says, I want to marry you. But if I'm going to marry you, it's just going to be you and me. No other gods. And that's why he says, you're not going to take my name in vain. Because he says, you're going to have access to my name. And you're not going to make misuse of my name. Remember, whenever you render, acknowledge, or become aware of his name, he says, I will come and bless you. Let's go to that. Exodus 20, 24. So he showed up with this glory, with this proposal. The clouds, the thunder, the lightning, everything there in the wilderness. And he says to them, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it burnt offerings, and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. And then he says, listen to this. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and I will bless you. Because here they're still on the journey. But remember, Daniel, those guys, everything, when they're in exile, they're being dispersed to places, and then they start serving God. He says, in every place, even in exile, where you cause my name to be remembered, I shall come and I shall bless you. I want to tell you, wherever you find yourself, when you remember his name and you call upon his name, he shall come and he shall bless you. That's who God is. They've rejected the proposal. I'm not going to go there. They say they rejected me with a rejection. He says, but wherever my name is honored, I will continue to show up and bless you. And the word bless is where we get the word, French word, benediction from. And benediction means what? It means to declare or to call as finished that what just happened, to conclude. So when we're done here and we say, let's do a benediction, it means that everything happening in the service, we call as concluded or as finished over your life. That's the word bless. So he says, whenever you call my name and honor my name, I shall come and bless. Declare it as finished over you. Do you get it? Wherever you honor my name, and remember me, I will come and I will declare what you honor. I will declare that which you remember, and that which you come and bring before me, I will declare it as finished or concluded over you. So when you start needing healing and you start honoring Jehovah Rapha, the healer, and when you honor his name, he will start concluding or finish the healing over you. Come on. Do you get what God says here? He says that we're in relationship, we're in covenant. Whenever you honor me and call into remembrance, I will come and finish. I'll do the work in your life. That's who I am. I will come and finish it. So when you need healing, lift up the name of Jesus, the healer, Jehovah Rapha. You need provision, come and call him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Come on. If you need victory, you have to lift him up as Jehovah Nissi, your banner. There's a supply of victory in the air that we breathe. We just need to reach into the covenant that God has given us. As we honor the name, God shows up and calls that what we honor as finished over our life. Amen. Aren't you excited about this? This, I said, it can change your life. If you understand this, the way we do life with God will change. We start calling God. We've watched a movie. Someone said we have to unsung hero. I don't know who of you know the artist Rebecca St. James. I sold a series in Impact when I was a student. And it's the true life story of how she had to move to the States and you know, start a career and all these things. But at a stage, they've got nothing. We were speaking about this morning now, Chris, about writing on the wall promises. We had a stage in our lives, we had to write the word on the promises of God. So we had to remember and call God of who he is, and God had to manifest. And nothing is too big or too small. One stage, the boy asked, he says, how do you spell cheap? The wireless, like, I want to ask God to make things cheaper. And he puts it on the wall, because that wall they pray about, everything they pray about. And so it happens. So it's the things we ask for and the things we thank God for. So later in the scene, he takes it from asking to we thank God because he's done it. And you see, that's the way you do life. Nothing too big or too small. If you can start understanding the name that you call, the name that you honor, he will come and manifest. That's why David in Psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm finishing off. I lie, I'm almost halfway. No. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. And listen to verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's benefits in the name of Jesus. There's benefits with God. You see, he says he's a God for us. He's got things for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless all that's within me. And remember what's available in that name. That's what he says. There's benefits in the name. The benefit of Jehovah Rapha is your healing. Come on. The benefit of Jireh is he is your provision. The benefit of Jehovah Tzidkenu is righteousness, not earned righteousness. That's what I said about that. We're trying to earn our righteousness. No, no, no. Just flat out given righteousness, because he's righteous. He makes us righteous. Amen. Our sanctification. Not given just because we are in covenant. He sanctifies us. It's all about covenant. I want to read that scripture and I'm going to start ending off. I want to read the full Psalm 103. Listen to what he says, how God doesn't deal with us. Covenant. I'll start with verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. He says this. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Listen to what God speaks to you. This is what he says over you. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. And here they come. Who forgives all your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He makes known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, praise God, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Come on. You can open your eyes. That's benefits in His name, isn't it? How much did you do to earn that? There's nothing that you do. That's just calling on His name. Remembering His name. He says He doesn't deal with us according to our sin and our iniquities. Are you not glad for that? In the covenant of God, you're completely free from all. You're free from accusations. I want to tell you this. In covenant, you have complete access to every name. You have to believe it this morning. Bless His name. Where you bless it, there at that place, God shows up and calls that which you've blessed as finished over your life. Two more things, then we're done. I said there's a progression in the name. He says, I am El Shaddai, 500 years long. Then He comes and says, I'm Jehovah. We can put the music a little bit louder now. And then He says, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Nisi. Shama. Tzidkenu. He comes to reveal everything that He is. There's a progression in the name, but where does it end? It ends with Jesus that has made the statement, I have manifested your name. And later Paul says this, Philippians 2, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth. And every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That at the name of Jesus. Jesus is the encapsulation of everything. Jehovah Jireh, Tzidkenu Shalom, whatever you need. Jesus, that's why He says we call on the name of Jesus. I want to shift your mind this morning that in this coming year and where we're at, that when you call on Jesus, that's not just a name Jesus. It's the encapsulation of the covenant of God. Everything that you need, whatever you remember, God shall come and honor and He shall bless you. Come on. This can shift your life. This can change the way you do life with God, because now you can walk with this. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory, but that He will come because He will honor His name. That's why He said, I swore by my own name. God will not fail. Let's close our eyes. He's the name above every name. And when you enter into relationship with Jesus, you enter into relationship with all the other names, your peace, your glory, your healer. I want you to understand this. All the names of the old covenant, it's combined and encapsulated in one name, the name of Jesus. I want you to just focus your heart now as we're ending off. This is my desire that you will say in this coming year, not just coming year, from now today, that Jesus, we want to walk with you in a different way. If there's a fullness, we want the fullness, everything. And maybe you haven't experienced God. Maybe you feel like God failed you in a way. Maybe it's time to change and shift your perspective and your paradigm of who God is. I want to remind you of that, what Yaku ministered, ambiguity. more than one interpretation of what God can do and how He can work. And maybe God comes and He does that what He says, but you had an idea. But I want you to come in this season and in this time and say, Lord, this coming year, I want to walk with You. And that I trust when I call on Your name, I see You move in whatever You need. That's not arrogance. That's walking in Your covenant and who God called you to be. Because He says to be one with Him. John 17, Father, as we are one, let us and they become one. He wants you to be one with Him. And therefore you have access to every name. You can call all the other names, Jehovah Jireh, Nisi, you can call them. But Jesus is the name above every name. Jesus is the encapsulation of everything. And when you call His name, I want to say this, He will come and bless you. So Father, we just come. As we honor You and as we acknowledge You, as we started, there's a different shift. Let us become aware of who You are. Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We come and we acknowledge who You are. Jesus, come and manifest in the lives of everyone. We need more of You. Let us become less and let You become more. And let us see You move in ways they haven't seen before. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, that's my wish and my bless for this year that's coming. That you will know Jesus in the name of Jesus, and that He will manifest in mighty ways. Amen. Come on, let's give God glory.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.